All right, welcome back. It's the Avid Investor Podcast with me, your host, Josh Adamek, and we're on episode 59 here. We're rolling. Today, we're going to talk about assets over liabilities and how we create true financial freedom through the understanding of what is an asset, what is a liability, and how we increase our assets and decrease our liabilities. So here goes. First off, let's start off with what is the difference between an asset and liability? And I covered this previously. I talked about the difference between assets and liabilities a number of times here over the podcast. And I did have a previous episode specifically on assets assets and liabilities, but felt the need here to cover it again because it came up in a recent conversation that I was having. So first off, let's just start with a definition between the two. What is basic definition? So what is an asset? An asset is anything that creates money, creates revenue that makes you money. And what is a liability? A liability in basic definition, basic terms, is anything that costs you money. And there's a common misconception there, misunderstanding of, some people, think that, something is an asset when all reality it's a liability. So, let's go with, some examples on assets. Cash flowing real estate is an asset. And I noticed I said cash flowing real estate. If you own real estate that's, like a value add project, that's a renovation that you're going to resell, it's a liability. It's a liability until you realize that gain, that revenue, it's a liability. If you own real estate that's sitting there vacant, it's a liability. It costs you money. It's not an asset on your balance sheet. It's a liability. If you own real estate that, single family, multifamily, commercial, whatever, that's tenant occupied, resident occupied, paying, cash flowing, positive cash flow, that is an asset that is not a liability. If you own real estate that is negative cash flow, that is a liability because that costs you money every month. If you own vehicles, your own home, those are all liabilities. So let's go with assets first. What are some more assets? We got cash flowing real estate. We have let's say businesses. If you own a business, that's an asset. If you own vehicles, now some vehicles can create revenue if you use Toro or something like that to lease out your cars and you make money, more money than they cost you each month. Those can be put in the asset column. Your own vehicles, personal vehicles, collector cars, anything like that, those would fall under the liability column. Those are not assets. Again, anything that makes you money is an asset. Anything that costs you money is a liability. Now, liabilities can, as I said, convert to assets if you realize a gain, if you sell something and it makes you money. Your own home. Biggest misconception is so many people think that their own home is an asset, when in reality, your own home that you live in, assuming you own it, or if you rent it, whatever, it's a liability, because it costs you money to live there each month. It's a liability. You got to pay for it. Even if you own your home free and clear without a mortgage, it still costs you money. You got to insure it. You got to maintain it. You got to pay the taxes. It's a liability. If you were to sell your home and realize a gain, sell it for more than you paid for it, you made money, it became an asset. It put something into the asset column. It put cash into the asset column. But there's a there's a reason, you know, why, you know, the SEC, Security and Exchange Commission, you know, to be classified as an accredited investor, you have to meet certain criteria. And one criteria in particular is you have to have a net worth in excess of $1 million, excluding your personal home. So even the SEC, the Security and Exchange Commission, doesn't view your own personal home as an asset. It's a liability. So other things that are liabilities, your cars, your home, anything that, you know, your consumer stuff, your jewelries, your clothes, you know, anything that you spend money on, those are all liabilities that cost you money. Assets, cash flowing real estate, cash flowing businesses. It's important that we understand the difference between the two. So how do we understanding the difference between assets and liabilities? How do we use that to create true financial freedom? And it's pretty simple. We got to get our assets up and we got to keep our liabilities down. Talked about this before in previous episodes where no matter where you're at, you have a baseline. You start here. Okay. So you're here. Here is here for, you know, a baseline is different for everyone. So let's just say here is, you know, you're out of school, younger, whatever. You know, you have a job and you got your first apartment. And then you work at that job for a little bit. You get a bonus, you get a raise, you get a promotion. So you go from, let's just say, making 50 grand a year to 75 grand a year. And then, you know, with that, you're making more money. And then it's pretty common to have the shiny object syndrome where I'm making more money. I got to get a nicer car. I got to get a bigger apartment. I go buy a house. Well, if you know, as you're making more money, if you're not increasing, if you're getting caught up in the consumer debt and consumer consumption portion of it, then you will never create that freedom. Where it's important to focus is taking that earned income and investing in assets and not liabilities. And that's where we need to understand that's where it's important to understand the difference between the two, because a lot of consumer thinking is that, well, I make X amount of dollars, I'm going to be making X amount of dollars next year or next quarter or whatever. So I go buy a bigger house, I go buy a bigger car. And the thought behind that, the typical standard way of thinking is that a bigger house and a bigger car is an asset because it's something I own. When that's false, that's the furthest thing from the truth. Your home is not an asset. Your car is not an asset. Those are liabilities. Again, regardless, even if they're free and clear, even if they, you know, if your home's free and clear, if it's paid for, if your car's free and clear, it's paid for, it still costs you money. You got to maintain them. You got to insure them. You got to pay taxes. So standard way of thinking is I'm making more money. I got to buy a bigger house. I got to buy a nicer car, or I want to buy a nicer car. I want to buy a bigger house. When the higher level investor way of thinking, if you go back to, you know, my good friend and mentor who I talk about all the time, John Burley, in his book, Money Secrets of the Rich, talks about the seven steps to financial freedom and the five levels of investors. If you get to be, you know, level four, level five investor, then you truly understand the difference between assets and liabilities. And as you make more money, as you tend to do better, you know, and have excess capital, then converting that cash to buying more assets, more cash flowing assets, is going to get you where you want to be as far as creating the financial freedom, so to speak. So well, it's nice to have a big home. It's nice to have, you know, it's nice to have a beautiful home. It's nice to have a nicer car and drive a fancy car. There's also, you know, things that you need to consider with, you know, making those decisions. What are your goals? What are your ambitions? Do you want to work forever? Do you want to continue to every time you make more money, level up? Or do you want to work the graph in both directions, where you make more money, you pay stuff off, and then it's less time that you have to work your way out before if it's less time out of the graph, out in the chart, to where you become financially free. And what I'm trying to say is, as you do better, you know, financially, and, you know, should you choose not to increase your liabilities, but increase your assets, your asset column, you eventually get to a point where you have enough passive income from those assets and the passive income far exceeds your day-to-day expenses. And that's how you create financial freedom through cash flow and through passive income, not by buying bigger houses or, you know, bigger cars or exotic cars or all this stuff. You see it all day long. Every time you open up social media, there's something on there, somebody on there, you know, 20 some year old kid, you know, just bought a Ferrari, just bought this, just went on this trip, you know, out at this $1,000 dinner, you know, doing this, doing that. And while those things are nice, you gotta keep that stuff in check too. If you look at, you know, like I said, I was talking about in a previous episode, take a look at a financial calculator, and let's just say, you know, you take $5,000 a month and plop it away in an investment account, or put it into some sort of investment vehicle that's going to compound, that's going to grow and compound over time. Take any amount of money and see what that looks like over 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Well, when you know, I get it, we've been there. When you're in your 20s, your 30s, you're like, oh, I got nothing but time. But if you flip that switch early on and use that time in your favor, and, you know, you start investing early on and building your portfolio early on and building growing your asset column early on and decreasing your liability column early on, or keeping your liability low, you know, in check compared to your assets, then if you look at that on an investment calculator and you think, man, I got nothing but time, those dollars, you know, those dollars will be much larger over time the earlier you start. Something I shouldn't have to say, but it does need to be said. So how do we, you know, as you're making, like I said, as you're growing your business, as you're doing better, and, you know, if you begin to focus on building up that asset column and reducing the liability column, you know, there, you get to a point where there's a spread and you're like, huh, this is cool. I don't, you know, my stuff's paid for. I can take it, you know, I can go semi-retire. And depending on how much you focus on that and how dedicated you are to assets over liabilities, the sooner you can get to that point to where you can stop. So, financial freedom is what it's all about. I mean, the real flex is in the freedom, the freedom to have the ability to do the things that you want to do, not do the things that you have to do. The real flex, in my opinion, is having the ability to, you know, be at every one of my kids' events, coach soccer, lead the scouts, hang out with them every weekend, you know, take some days off here and there, and go do different things with them. You know, that's my opinion. You know, that's the real flex, in my opinion. And that's what allows you to do that is having the understanding of assets versus liabilities and creating that financial freedom. And again, this means something different to everyone. So, you know, when we talk about strictly just assets over liabilities and creating cash flow, there's a lot of people in a lot of different stages in their life that are looking for cash flow, looking to create cash flow. So one example, I had, you know, investment partners of mine that, that came on a few years back. They had a big, sale of their company, and, you know, I got together with them. I met with them. They had sold their company. It was for a big, big number. And, you know, we're talking about real estate. We're talking about the equity partnerships and what we do. And, you know, this is one of the things that they had mentioned. They're like, this is great. You know, we got, they were at a point in their life where, you know, they may not, you know, I'm sure they have the drive and a desire, but, you know, just by opinion, it's like they didn't really want to go out and start another business and grow another business because they know what that takes. So they said to me, we met, we got together. They said, hey, this is great. This is a good opportunity. They said, we have cash. We need cash flow. So again, prime example, you know, they're looking at, we have cash and we need cash flow because they wanted to grow that, that asset and that, that, that cash flow, to continue, you know, to have that, that, that freedom. So, you know, everybody's in a different spot financially, but the biggest thing that, or financially, you know, whether it's, beginning stages and you're growing your asset column, or whether it's, you know, middle or towards the end of the stage where, you know, you're pivoting and adjusting your asset column. These folks, for example, they had a big, big sale of their business. Now they got a pile of cash. What do we do? It's like, okay, equity partnership, love it. Let's go buy some real estate. Let's get some cash flow. Let's get some tax benefits. Let's get some long-term, some capital growth. All of that, you know, which, you know, comes from real estate and, you know, equity partnerships or being a direct owner. So, the other thing to note is, you know, I'm not saying that, that you shouldn't, you know, when I talk about assets over liabilities, I'm not saying that, that you shouldn't own things and you shouldn't have cool things. You shouldn't have nice stuff. You shouldn't have a nice car. You shouldn't have a nice home. What I'm saying is you should keep your stuff in check and focus on growing that, that first things first is grow that asset column and create that cash flow. And if you choose, you can one, either reinvest that cash flow to continue to grow those assets, or you can pull some of that cash flow out and go get your liabilities. You can go buy your car. You can go buy your house. You know, you can go on your vacations. You can get your second home or whatever, depending on how big your portfolio is. But I would strongly recommend that, that, you know, let's focus on that asset column and creating those assets and creating that cash flow and have that cash flow pay for your liabilities. So again, we're going back to passive income versus active income. If you look at the flow, you got your active income, which is your business, your job, your W-2, whatever, however you make your money, you have your active income, the income that you have to work for. You take that active income, you invest it into assets. The assets create the cash flow, which is the passive income. Then you use that passive income to pay for, you know, the things that you want to have, the home, the cars, the, you know, the jewelry, whatever that is. But make sure you follow that system, the active income to the assets, to the passive income, to the liabilities. And that's how you create financial freedom. If you skip that middle step, if you go active income to liabilities, then you'll never have that freedom. You'll never have that cash flow and that financial freedom. And I've been in all different, you know, spots financially in my life. I've been in active income. I've been in the creation of the assets and the growth. And, you know, I've been in the passive income from the portfolio and being in the passive income, being in the financially free part of the cycle is where you want to be. Take my word for it. if you're not already there, but you know, it all goes back to assets over liabilities and forgetting about the shiny object syndrome. Again, I see it time and time again. I mean, anybody that pulls up their phone and opens up social media sees it all the time, where, you know, you can watch the projection, the growth almost in real time. It's like, okay, you know, dude started here. He's now, you know, 6 months or 12 months or 18 months in, you know, doing well, making some money, but like, does he need to be driving, you know, whatever, Ferrari, or does he need to be in that big house, right? Like, it's like, go ahead and hustle and make that money and make that active income, but let's not forget about the assets. Let's grow that asset column. Let's create that financial freedom through cash flow, and then let's buy the cool stuff. We don't have to have the cool stuff right now. We can wait a little bit to where we have the cool stuff from the cash flow. That's the important step that, you know, a lot of people miss and see it time and time again. And I say this, you know, in all seriousness, and I say this quite often, and usually, you know, when I bring this up, you know, a lot of the reaction, like people's, you know, eyes wide open and like you really catch their attention. But I know several people, and I've had several friends over the years that are seven figure earners, yes, earning over $1 million a year, that are broke. And that's reality, right? Because they miss that whole, and what do I mean by they're broke? And I like, how somebody broke that's making $1 million. Well, let me ask you this. Do you know anybody that is making $250,000 a year and broke? Do you know anybody that's making $100,000 a year and broke? The answer is probably yes. Do you know anybody that's making $500,000 a year and broke? The answer is probably yes. Why? Because that person started here, wherever here was the starting point. They made a little bit more money and they spent more money. They made a little bit more money and they spent more money. Made a little bit more money, spent more money. And the progression just goes up. So many people get caught up in, you know, what I refer to as the shiny object syndrome, where they make it, they spend it, they make it, they spend it, they make it, they spend it, make it, they spend it. And I'm telling you, I know several people, and we all may know several people that make over $1 million a year that are in that position, that are broke. Why are they broke if they're making $1 million a year? Because they don't understand finances. They know how to make money. They might know how to run a business. They might know how to grow a business, or they might just be really good at talking to people and you know, growing their business that way. And the reality is, you know, you start here, you grow super quick, and you don't realize it, but you're spending super quick, buying newer cars every other week, buying bigger houses every other week, you know, not every other week, bigger houses, but buying bigger houses as you, you know, bigger house, bigger house, bigger house, more cars, more cars, more cars, vacation home, this, that, the other thing, fancy dinners out every week, you know, and all that stuff adds up at the end of the year. And before you know it, you're chasing, you know, you can get caught chasing your tail, and you're like, man, where did all my money go? Well, look at your social media highlight reel. That's where your money went, right? When you see the new cars, you see the houses, you see all the bling, everything, that's where it all went, right? And that's just the reality, unfortunate reality, where, you know, if you take that growth and instead invest it into assets, hold off on the liabilities. You get your liabilities, just hold off on the liabilities. Let's grow the business. Let's invest into assets. Let's take the cash flow from that asset, from those assets, and let's buy the cool stuff that we want to buy. That's the reality. That's how we create true financial freedom, is through understanding the difference between assets and liabilities, and know when to hold, and, you know when it's okay to, you know, go out and treat yourself, to buy yourself something nice. But again, don't get caught up in the shiny object syndrome. You know, as you grow, as you progress, reinvest into assets, grow that asset column, take the cash flow from the assets, reinvest into the assets, into more assets, if you want, to continue to grow that cash flow and those assets. But every once in a while, you can pull a little bit out and you pull a little bit of your gains out from your assets and go buy yourself something nice if that's what you choose to do. I'm not saying that everybody has to live like the millionaire next door where you got $10 million, $20 million, $100 million in an investment account. You're wearing a Timex and driving a Honda. I'm not even suggesting that. What I'm saying is that we really just need to understand the difference between assets and liabilities, and really understand what an asset is, what a liability is, and understand that the creation of more assets would allow for the liabilities if you're willing to delay gratification and not have the shiny object syndrome, not have the need for instant gratification there. So that's about it for my message today. Again, just one last time, assets are anything that cash flows, anything that makes you money is an asset. Anything that a liability is anything that costs you money. So it's important to understand that your own home is not an asset, it's a liability. That your own car is not an asset, it's a liability. Even so much so, well, you know, I get this, well, I have a collector car, I have this rare, you know, 19, da, 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 whatever, you know, Mustang, whatever, there's one of, you know, however many made, it's on a shelf in my garage, nobody ever, that is not an asset, that's still a liability. Why? Because you still have to insure it, you still have to maintain it, and it doesn't create any revenue to where it's self-supporting. those are nice to have, and that could potentially be a good long-term investment. That's not an asset, that is a liability, because you still have to pay to own it, you still have to pay to maintain it. So that's why I said the biggest common misconception is, you know, I'm making more money, I'm doing better, I'm going to go out and buy a bigger home because it's an asset. I'm going to go out and buy a nicer car because it's an asset. Well, that bigger car and that nicer house, I mean, that's just cost you money. So those are liabilities, not assets. The thought process could be or should be, I'm making more money, so I'm going to go invest into cash flowing assets, investment real estate. You know, I don't do much of this, but it could be stocks, could be bonds, could be, you know, if you're into crypto, you know, as long as it's creating revenue, that's probably not a great example because that's pretty speculative, in my opinion. But investing in cash flowing assets to where your money is getting an ROI, return on investment, you're cash flowing, you're reinvesting into more assets, you're growing that asset column. And again, you want to treat yourself to something, grow that asset column, then pull something out and go buy a liability, with the cash flow, with the gains, with your distributions, go get your liabilities. But it's important to go one last time and then I'm out of here. Active income to assets to passive income to liabilities. If you skip the asset column and the cash flow column, if you go straight from active income to liabilities, you will never have the true financial freedom. You'll never create financial freedom. And that's something that is very, very, very important, in my opinion, financial freedom. Cash flow from passive income, through passive income is very, very important to me. And that's something that, you know, there's a number of things that, you know, number of ways you can get, passive income and cash flow, but my bread and butter, my investment vehicle of choice is, the creation and management of portfolios of single family homes in and around Pittsburgh. Again, you know, and I talked about this many, many times on these episodes, but you know, that's what we do at Avid, is create cash flow through, for us and for our capital investors, through, the creation of portfolios of single family homes in and around Pittsburgh. My opinion, you know, safety, security. It's where it's at. Regular houses, regular neighborhoods. We invest in medium price point neighborhoods. Why? Why? Because in my opinion, that's a true, true asset. Regardless of market conditions, there's always a need for a $1,200 to $1,500 a month rental in and around Pittsburgh. If you're not in Pittsburgh, take whatever the median price point is for your area, for your market. My opinion, that's where you should be investing. Median price point homes in and around the market that you're buying for, far below replacement cost, far below what you could actually, you know, build new for. That's where you want to be. So that's it for today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. That's episode 59, Assets Over Liabilities. Hope you enjoyed. If you did, just do me a favor, share it with somebody. That's it. Thank you and have a great day.